Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Noach Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Noach. What a big Aliyah. This Aliyah is a very long one. It has 44 psukim running from Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches, to the very end of Perek Yud at Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Beis. The main focus is the vineyard and the 70 nations. Let's take a quick look at the contents of this Aliyah, a summary, and then we'll think about some points together. So at the beginning we hear again about the three sons of Noach, their Shem, Cham, and Yafes. And Cham is, we're told, is the father of Canaan. This is a prelude to the story we're about to hear. So these children help populate the land. At this point in time, Vayochel Noach, hard word to translate, but it sounds like he begins by making planting a vineyard. He becomes a farmer. He drinks from the wine produced by the grapes. He becomes drunk and he reveals himself. So he's walking around unclothed in his tent. At which point, his grandson Ham, his son Ham sees it, and he goes and tells his brothers outside. The two other brothers, Shem and Yefes, take this cloak, this simla, backwards, and they, in respect for their father's nakedness, and cover him up. And as they arrive at him, they turn their heads the other direction as well, so that they cover him up. Noach wakes up, realizes what has been done to him by his youngest son, and he curses Canaan. So it seems that although it was describing Ham doing this, it seems that it was facilitated or started by his son Canaan, the grandson of Noach. And at which point he curses him to be an Eved Avodim Yelechog, to be a servant of servants to his brothers. And he gives a blessing to the other two children, Yavtelokim Yefes. Hashem should expand the tents of Yefes, V'yishkom Bo'alei Shem, and he will dwell in the tents of Shem. We then hear about the fact that Noach lives after the Mabul 350 more years, and leading him to a sum total of 950 years when he passes away. We then hear a large section, all of Perek Yud, is dedicated to the generations after Noach. So we hear about the generations of Yefes, and we hear about the generations of Ham, and then we hear about the generations of Shem. We hear great detail about all their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And sometimes we hear about their actions, like Nimrod becoming a Gibor Chayil, which is a negative thing. And we hear about some of the lands which are taken over by some of the children of Yefes. But and in many of these descriptions of people are names of nations that we know now, like Mitzrayim, Pras, Kush, a lot of nations that we see later on in Tanakh. Let's take a few points to ponder. Number one is this episode at the beginning about the vineyard. When did it occur? So the Chida points out in his commentary on Nach called Chomas Anach that there are a few discrepancies here which are hard to synthesize. Number one is it sounds Vayochel that it began right after the Mabul, but that's not possible because as Noach emerged from the Teva, he only had three children and their wives. How could he have a grandson, Ham, at that point in time? Ham actually is the fourth son of Ham. So how is it possible that this could have been right away, if the word Vayachel means he began? So one could translate it as he made himself chulin, he emptied himself out of meaning, but that is not the primary understanding of the word. So the Chida suggests that to try to synthesize all of this, that really it took a while for the earth to recover after the Mabul and Noach to sort of set everything into motion. And Ham already came off the table with his wife impregnated. He was the one who did not listen to the moral calling of being separate during the times of disaster. And his wife was already 9 months pregnant, gave birth to the first child, Canaan, immediately as they came off the ark. And Canaan, although is labeled as the fourth child because of his curse, is really the oldest child. And in the time that it took Noach to arrange the earth, to put things back into place, that's when Canaan grew older. So perhaps closer to the end of the Mabul than would seem otherwise. All the Mephoroshim struggle with this type of question. Another question is, why did he choose to plant a vine? Rashi tells us that he brought the vines with him on the Teva, and this is one of the fruits that he brought, so he therefore planted it afterwards. The Bechor Shor, Yosef Bechor Shor, says that this is an indication that the curse upon the work of the land by Cain had already ceased because of all Cain's generations. All his progeny had been wiped out in the flood. Remember, Noach is from Shes, not Cain. Another possibility that Chasam Sofer says is that Noach became a more earthly and material-oriented person. After the entire flood, it's clear Isha-Dharma doesn't just mean to say that he was an agriculturalist, it means to say he became earthy. He moved away from his soul awareness, from his spiritual side of his persona. The Kleiyako says the verse actually may relate to the fact that, according to one opinion in the Gemara in Brachos, that the Eitz Hadas was a grape. Therefore, what was going on over here was a reconstruction of the original challenge of Adam HaRishon, Noach viewing himself the father of three sons, like Adam was the father of three sons, trying to struggle with the primordial challenge and failing so in the same or similar vein. And on a most basic level, without having to go too far, one can also say Noach lived with terrible survivor's guilt. The whole world, the whole known world, everything, not just everyone, everything had been completely wiped away. Noach, whenever he saw storm clouds, probably had that ominous thought and the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress disorder of seeing that terrifying apparition and thinking about those days, that cataclysmic event of it. It is probable to understand that part of this was also psychologically a terrifying thing for Noach when seeing those clouds appear, and drunkenness would be the way that Oyved Nefesh, as we hear in Mishlei, that he finds solace, which is unfortunately a failing, similar to what the Chasam Sofer is saying. What did Canaan actually do? So it's interesting, on the most basic level, the Radak says, the Shadal says an interesting thing, is that he just saw this situation and he laughed. He thought it was funny. His grandfather's acting in this way, and he goes and tells his father, doesn't correct the situation. It's the greatest expression of a lack of respect, a lack of knowing one's place. That's the most basic understanding. However, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin, which tells us a more terrifying thing, and that is two opinions. One is that he sodomized his grandfather. The other one is that he sterilized him. Terrifying ideas. Why would he do that? So Rashi goes on to explain a little later on that he looked back at Adam, the earliest progeny, father, patriarch of all of humanity, and he only had two sons and later three sons, and though they fought and killed each other over world dominion, essentially. And he said, look, Noach's got three sons, and now he's thinking of having more children. And if he's going to think of having more children, he felt that he needed to intervene to create less problems. And again, whenever you intervene, you create more problems as well. So that's perhaps what's going on, suggests Rashi. Now, what is the expression Noach's blessing and curse to Shem and to Yefes? It is interesting, Rashi points out, that this may refer to the first and second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was made by the Semites, by Shem, and that's where the Shekhinah rested. The second Beis HaMikdash was created at the behest of Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great came from the family line of Yefes. That being the case, there was no Shekhinah in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aaron, and that is a reflection of the difference of Shem. Yishkan Hashem Bo'alei Shem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem's presence will be in the tents of Shem, not in that of Yefes. Now, why do we hear about all these generations in the rest of the Aliyah? Why is this so significant? So the Netziv says a very fascinating observation. He says that this incident of the vineyard is connected with the division of the future generations upon earth. At the beginning, they were all on the same page. They were about survival. They were about continuity. They were about God preservation, environmentalism, and what Hashem intended them to be. But then there was an event, this vineyard event, split them up into different personalities. And the Netziv says from here on inwards, the human beings are going to divide themselves. In fact, he says that these are actually character types which are expressed here. Anybody who is less of an intellectual is a person from the Chama personality trait. A person who is much more successful and full of verve for life is a Yefes personality. And those who are spiritually inclined are those who follow the pattern of shame. Now, how many children are actually recorded in the end of this Aliyah? It's a very long list. And it's helpful to look at a chart. We're here about that they are described, as the Chizkuni says, as 70 different children here. So for first generation, second generation, third generation sometimes. And why is this? So the Pasuk says at the very end of the Aliyah, Eile Mishpachas B'nei Noach, these are the children or the families of Noach, the told Osam, in their generations, B'goyehem, in their nations, May Eile, from these, Nifredu HaGoyim Be'eretz Achar HaMabul. These are how they separated into the different lands after the Mabul, which leads the Chizkuni, quoting Chazal, to say that the 70 nations are formed from these 70 individuals. Yes, there were other ones, but they're not listed because they were not the patriarchs of nations and nation states. These ones were. It's interesting to note that Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would describe that when he was at the United Nations Peace, Millennium Peace Summit in the year 2000, in August 2000, he was invited as a religious representative in the world, and he noticed that while there were over 2,000 different leaders from world faiths and different faiths, there were 70 basic traditions, coming back to this notion of these 70 nations which emanated from Noah after the Mabel. With this, we close Shishi. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.